Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hello, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks for joining in our conversation today about forgiveness. This is a difficult topic in that we are told to forgive, but not about how to make it real in our hearts. So we often say the words, "I forgive," without knowing the freedom that true forgiveness brings. Colossians 3:13 says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." So join in the conversation as we find the freedoms of forgiveness. Ephesians 4:31 and 32 says, "Let there be no more resentment, no more anger or temper, no more violent self-assertiveness, no more slander, no more malicious remarks. Be kind to each other. Be understanding. Be as ready to forgive others as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." Now, Janie, I don't hear any ifs in that statement. It sounds pretty absolute. Not if I feel like it. Not if they apologize. Not if the conditions are right. Am I supposed to forgive?
I think the absolute here, Sharon, is that the Lord couldn't have produced conditions on how he would forgive us. He knew there was no hope if he did not forgive absolutely in totality, that he couldn't pick and choose what was forgiveness worthy and what he could let slide by.
Oh, that's such a good point, Janie. I hadn't thought about that.
So, Sharon, we are recognizing today that it is a priority. We see the need of it in society. You've just confirmed by Ephesians 4. So we know that it is a reality in the mind of God. And yet many people are not ready to accept the principle or the process of true forgiveness.
Right.
Some can say, "Oh, yeah, I'll forgive them," but the heart's not right. So just to utter those words is not a declaration of true forgiveness.
Yeah.
So Sharon, what's your opinion of forgiveness?
Well, I've learned that forgiveness is a choice, not a feeling.
Very good. And as a society right now that seems to be living off of our feelings because of changing circumstances, we can justify on why we don't need to forgive. But I find that forgiveness really is an action, as you said, of the will. It's not a feeling. And here is the difficulty in opening up our minds to forgiveness, and that is because we all sin and we all still continue to do things that we don't want to do, but we still do them. That's Romans 7. We've got to recognize that we have to accept another person's wrongdoing to us as our own, because we may not be guilty in the same area as the offense they're committing, but we are guilty in committing offenses in maybe another area, but we're still guilty.
Don't you think that it's interesting how it's so easy for us to go to the Father and expect the forgiveness that he promises? As Christians, we'll say, "Oh God, I'm so sorry. I confess and acknowledge that that is a sin according to your word." But when others do things that are against us, then we're less likely to give that same grace to them that God has given to us.
There's a song, Sharon, that is fairly popular today, and it goes, "He looked beyond my fault and saw my need."
Yeah.
And this is not us forgiving ourselves. I had someone recently say, "Well, I know God has forgiven me, but I can't forgive myself."
I hear that a lot, too. And I've actually said that
Well, then let me kind of rock somebody's foundation. Because if God has forgiven me, but I can't forgive myself, I just made myself God in my decision over the true and living God who says, you can forgive yourself in my forgiveness of you. And if you decide that your choice can be different from mine, then you are upsetting your role and you're playing God over me, the real God.
That makes sense. But are we doing that same thing with others as we do with ourselves, or is that a whole separate thing?
Well, we could definitely define it in another program, but I think right now we're trying to give an outline of what forgiveness is. But there are as many people that remain under guilt.
Okay.
Because they can't forgive themselves
of
the offense. But that is the groundwork where the enemy then keeps a hold of the heart and the emotions and the mind.
In bondage.
And Sharon, if someone can, in their mind today, consider a word picture, that when you choose to exercise your unforgiveness, either of yourself or of someone else, you lock yourself in chains. So if we can think of a word picture of yourself, I can't forgive myself, then I would like for a person to think about a pair of handcuffs that are put on one of your wrists, and then the other handcuff is locked to the bars of which you're behind. You chain yourself. You can't be free because you're choosing to let guilt rule and reign in the situation.
Oh, wow. That's good. Okay.
Okay.
I get that.
Great. Super. Because that can be a great big issue on how people remain offended at God. Because if I can't forgive myself, I'm really not forgiving God for the offense.
Okay.
And now we have another component that has slipped into this slippery slope, and that's the problem with pride.
Okay.
I can feel justified because either I did something that was so terribly wrong, or somebody else did something to me that was so terribly wrong. And Sharon, there are some gross wrongs that are done to mm-hmm. one another.
Yes.
So I'm just saying, if you believe you have an offense that is not forgivable, then ask the Lord to open your eyes to what he accomplished at the cross and why it was necessary that he pay the full price on the cross.
Right. Okay.
And I will just throw in here that the cross is not a popular subject.
Mm-hmm.
It creates discomfort in our emotions and our thinking. So we are very content to just get the cross done away with by getting us out of hell and into heaven. And now we will direct our paths until we're ready to go to heaven. And we don't apply the forgiveness that was accomplished at the cross. And I'm saying this over and over because this is not easy for us to process.
Right.
But the cross covered it all. So therefore, we can offer forgiveness to all, whether it's ourself and our offense or somebody else's offense.
Right. And accepting God's forgiveness is the major part of forgiving ourselves and letting go of that guilt.
Yes, and something pops into my head, Sharon. Have you ever played Monopoly on a rainy night with your kids?
Oh, yes, okay. Absolutely.
All right, well, you know that in a stack of cards on Monopoly, there is that get out of jail free card, right?
Yes.
And you always want to have one when the cards are divvied out, all right? Our get out of free jail card can be said in really one word, eternal. If we understood that everything that's happening to us now is in light of the eternal destiny, the eternal calling, the eternal person of Jesus Christ, then we would have much easier time in accepting forgiveness. But when I ask people describe to me what the eternal is, I don't get good answers, if I get an answer at all. But most of the time, the eternal is a place I'm going to go when I die.
Yes. And okay? That's really the understanding that is taught many times.
And there is truth in that. But in that eternal place that I am going, there is the eternal person that has prepared that eternal place. And the eternal is really a person, Jesus Christ, that we will be able to see throughout eternity. So I would encourage any listener today that if the eternal does not spark a floodgate of blessings in your heart, if it doesn't inspire an excitement to be a part of the eternal, the e-person, Jesus Christ, that you get into the Word and start to study on the eternal.
Well, that as you were talking about that, Janie, it reminded me back when we were talking about the cross and all the benefits of the cross. It's like we get taught to a point about the cross, and then the rest of it is kind of dropped. And the same is true with the eternal, that, you know, we're taught to that point, and then there's so much more that we're not informed about and enlightened to.
Well, you bring up two really dynamic thoughts, and that is why the cross gets dropped after the benefits is because it now entails a death to self.
Yeah.
It entails dying. It entails giving your life for someone else. And I'm not being melodramatic, because that doesn't have to mean an extreme event or events. It simply means that I choose to let my heart live for others, not protecting the feel-good comforts of my life. Paul said, "I die daily." Well, right. He couldn't have had his head beheaded every day. So it is I don't want to say a metaphor, but it is an illustration of how we yield our thinking, rights, desires to the intent, motive, and provisions that Jesus Christ has given us.
Oh, that's perfect.
Now, you also said that we take so far our understanding of the eternal.
Right.
God has given us everything we need to know about the eternal while we live here in Himself. And if we knew the eternal consists of a person, just not a place,
right,
then we have all we need to know, because Jesus Christ has not kept secrets from the hungry heart that wants to know. He wants to share everything of who He is with what He is to us. But we don't want to see what we can't understand, Sharon.
Okay.
And how many times have you said, "I had to get to know before I could understand"?
Right.
So if you want to take the mysticism out of the eternal, get to know God, the eternal.
Right.
And then the place and the provisions and the joy will all start to give you an understanding.
Perfect. Well, that makes sense. Okay, so when we allow forgiveness to be not only vertical between me and God, but also horizontal between me and you, then there is a freedom that comes from that forgiveness.
Oh, well, that's true. That's true. If you will exercise what happens with true forgiveness, then your blame's going to be disappeared. Your guilt's going to be resolved. Now, I want to quickly say, your emotions may not like your choice, your decision by your will, and your emotions may drag. And one way they can drag is the enemy then can say, "Oh, you know, you really can't forgive that." The enemy will place doubts in your mind, or the emotional pain of the wound of what has happened. You will feel that again. You may feel it in your gut. You may feel it in a saddened heart response, your moods.
Right.
But we know that the moods need to go by kicking if they're not moods that are created by the Holy Spirit.
Well, I have an example that I don't know if will play out correctly, but, you know, when when we choose to forgive, what normally happens is there will be an opportunity to talk about the offense. And what that, in talking about that offense, what that does is it picks at the scab and keeps it from healing, and it becomes susceptible to infection. And then if we continue that process over and over, then that wound never heals. So we may say that we forgive, but in the picking at the scab, so to speak, we keep it tender and sensitive.
Well, and the Bible gives us an excellent illustration to the experience you're talking about, because if we don't offer the true forgiveness, understanding the cross and things we've already mm-hmm. mentioned, then you will start to store up your resentments as treasures.
Oh.
All right. There are things you, I could say they're the chips. You know, when we play certain games, we get a bunch uh-huh. of chips and we want to get so many chips to be the winner.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, just transfer that over to life. So when we store up the treasures, then it's we're holding on to our offended heart, and we store them in our heart, and then the thoughts and feelings will cause us to want to cash in some of our chips, and they're known as the retaliation chip.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I've got some blue chips that I'm going to call the accusation chips.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe I'm going to have a condemnation for that person, all right?
Right.
So then we accumulate these chips, because having all these chips wants us to prove how bad the offender is.
Right.
And keep right. our own wrong actions. And if we can keep those piles justified, then it helps to quiet that conscience of guilt.
Oh, so we point the finger at them, not looking at our own position and what we did to cause any of the offenses ourselves.
Yeah, so now let's just carry that another step further. So now I don't really want to deal with my guilt, but I do kind of want to hang on to it, but I don't want to really dwell on it because it makes me feel so bad that my conscience is working so right.
Uh-huh.
That then I'll try a more subtle action of working in my life, and that is I'll just withdraw from the person.
Oh.
I'll keep having any contact.
Right.
I may just distance myself so that I can think about the wounds, but I'm not going to talk about it anymore because it can't be fixed. You're supposed to live in peace. So I've had the words said to me more than once. So, Janie, chill.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
Quit bringing it back up, even if you're trying to defend or even if you're trying to understand and explain your role. Because sometimes...
Or you're right. Oh. This is why I did what I did, because they did what they did, and then that made me do what I did. And so, hey, I'm justified in my action because they did what they did.
Okay, now let's fast forward. So without true forgiveness, then that offended person internally will foster resentment, which will crystallize into bitterness.
Oh,
and my
okay.
favorite passage about bitterness is in Hebrews 12. And in verse 12, it says, "Now strengthen the hands which hang down and your feeble knees." So that's kind of describing a physical picture of, oh, woe is me. I'm slumped over.
Oh, right.
This is
okay.
just too much. And then in verse 13, it says, "Make straight paths for your feet, so that which is lame may not be dislocated and rather may be healed." In other words, buck up, baby.
Okay, right. okay.
But we know that we can't do that in our strength, so it tells us what we need to do. Pursue peace with all people. Because if you don't pursue peace and holiness, no one will really see the Lord.
Right. Okay.
So in regards to bitterness, mm-hmm. where we're headed now, so look carefully that none of you fall short of the grace of God. Oh, instantly, that needs to take us back. The grace of God, the cross, the forgiveness, what it cost
right.
him, what it cost
okay.
the Son, what the Holy Spirit is now bringing mm-hmm. to our minds daily.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to look carefully, be in the Word, be searching to see how you don't let your grace be in vain due to the root of bitterness.
Oh,
bitterness
goodness.
Is a root issue, Sharon, and I say that with great verbal intensity.
Okay.
And bitterness will always, always, always cause trouble. And anybody that is subject to that bitter spirit will become defiled. Remember we talked about a defiled conscience?
Yes.
Okay, bitterness like soaks in like sun does when you're out at the beach. And it will permeate your thinking, your emotions, your desire for the Lord, being willing to accept forgiveness, being willing to offer forgiveness. Bitterness is a cancer poison.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
So we do anything that the Holy Spirit will lead us through the conscience
mm-hmm.
and everything we've talked about to avoid bitterness.
Okay.
And ladies, bitterness shows on your face. Bitterness restructures the facial muscles. So if you have any vanity about how you look, pursue peace.
and find the freedom of forgiveness.
Amen. Now that's kind of looking at it in an mm-hmm. unusual way of why you want to forgive is because you don't like the way you look. But it could be the motivation for some people.
Yeah.
Okay.
To get us, at least get us on the right path.
There you go, which it tells us to do.
Right.
Okay.
Right. What happens when we can truly forgive?
Oh, the blame just washes away. Just like after a good rain, it just washes away. And with that blame being released, the guilt goes.
Okay.
Now, the emotions may battle you here some,
uh-huh.
but you go back to the will, as you said earlier, and mm-hmm. reckon on that. Then we can have a learning curve so that we can learn to express what we've learned to someone else who is still in that bondage, chained, and in bitterness.
Okay.
Okay.
So it kind of gives us insight. We can see where others are struggling.
Yes. And then I know that some people listening today are going to say, girls, this works fine, but you don't understand my situation. I live in a home or a family or a workplace or a church environment where these offenses keep happening over and over and over and over.
A daily event.
You just don't understand.
Right, okay.
Well, the Lord does. Peter didn't. So he said, Lord, when an offense comes, what do I do? Do I forgive seven times? Because that's the number of perfection. So Peter was saying, hey, that's the number of perfection that we understand. And the Lord says, no, Peter. No, you forgive 70 times 7. That's 490. Well, does that mean you can hold on to an offense at 491? No, this was a setting principle of if you can forgive 490 times, you can forgive 800 times. You can forgive 1,000
right,
times
right.
because your heart is right on understanding forgiveness.
Okay.
So James 3:2 does help us with this, and that is in James 3:2 it says we all stumble in many ways. And Sharon, most of the times the way we stumble in many ways is through our tongue and how we speak.
Oh my goodness, yes.
So the Lord says, be swift to hear the issue, but be slow to speak on how you respond to the issue, so that you don't continue to stumble and you can offer the principle of true grace because of the true work of the cross.
Well, I tell you, Janie, knowing that we can be the offender as well as the offended, that should humble us to the point of being able to express true forgiveness. But that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHart's.org. That's Sharon, SHARIN, Hearts, HEARTS.org.